This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. On the job site, did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. Who we got next, Tass?
Macca, we're going to chat with the Victorian Deputy Chief Health Officer, Dr. Annelies van Diemen.
No, we're not. We're talking to Martin.
Oh, my God. I got that wrong.
That might be a job. Actually, Martin, would you like that job as well?
I would.
Yeah.
It's like a cracker of a job.
Yeah, it's a cracker of a job.
We are chatting with the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, also the member for Albert Park. Good morning to you, Martin. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Tass. And you?
Very well, thank you. We've just had a very sobering conversation with...
I listened to that.
Yes, it was very interesting. Martin, we are particularly interested in talking with you about the LGBTI task force that you have just appointed.
Indeed. Now into the second terms of the Andrews Labor government, we have gone through the process of seeking community nominations for both our whole of government task force and our particular working groups in health and human services and justice, and we've now landed those and announced those this week. And there's the happy combination of a whole range of new, enthusiastic and younger members of the community coming forward, together with a couple of more seasoned campaigners continuing to make their efforts.
So well, that's great to see a bit of diversity in these committees. So, Martin, what are these committees going to do? What's their purpose? What's their function?
Well, look, 5 years into the equality project that the Andrews Labor government has before it, the main task that we have set ourselves as a group, where I co-chair with a young woman called Jay DeBont, who has emerged from the leadership and mentoring program that the first task force oversaw as co-chair.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She's a force of nature and is going to be a clear leader of not just the LGBTIQ community in Victoria, but frankly is going to have a big impact on public policy right around this state, I have no doubt. The main task that we have set ourselves as a group is to make sure that we take the next step in where our equality agenda as a government is going. How do we get a strategy that embeds the principles of equality, participation, the aspects of where LGBTIQ policy intersects with all sorts of other public policy positions in the state, and how do we embed the notion that equality is not negotiable in all that the Victorian government does? No small task, I can assure you. So whether it's in corrections, whether it's in education, whether it's in the health services we deliver, whether it's in our sporting and cultural precincts, and whether it's in any of the huge intersections of the Victorian government as the largest employer in the state, as well as such a major investor in community organisations, in infrastructure, in how we shape a future for our state. How can we make sure that the issues that are important to LGBTIQ Victorians are at the heart of what they do and that they can't be unravelled in the future?
That sounds great, Martin. Can you give me an example or two of what sorts of things you're hoping might come out of this?
I sure can.
Because it's you know, like we've had a great journey. We've got a Pride Centre that's currently being built. We've had a fantastic, you know, program of investments in the community in both capacity building and service delivery and service responses. What else is there that needs to be done?
The more we do in the Equality Project in Victoria to make sure that the rights of LGBTIQ Victorians are dealt with, the more there is to be done, frankly. Because whilst we've, for instance, in education through safe schools, now reached all corners of the state, how do we embed the notion in a respectful relationships, diversity, inclusive kind of way, make sure that we don't need the program, that we have it embedded into how schools and their school communities operate? How can we make sure that in, for instance, the trans community are dealt with appropriately in the correction system, which frankly still has some way to go? How can we make sure that the, as you just previously heard, that our response to family violence takes into particular account the lens of LGBTIQ and same-sex relationships? How can we make sure that our response to simple things like our bushfire response in over the summer just gone, as tremendous as it has been, how can we make sure that the response to those LGBTIQ communities that have been members of the community that have been made homeless and have had their assets impacted on, how can we make sure that the response to them is appropriate? And I could go on, and I will go on, but it's a response to make sure that we go about that by engaging community, co-design the principles of what the LGBTIQ community are looking for in their response from their government, and through that process, lock it into the structures, the operation, and perhaps most importantly of all, the funding of services, so as to make sure that the principles, as the Premier likes to reiterate, of equality not being negotiable in Victoria, are embedded so deeply that no one would think of, let alone dare propose, to take us back to the days where homophobia, biphobia, transphobia and exclusion were really the underpinning principles of how public policy worked in this state.
So one of the ways to do that, Martin, this is Macca, is one, you need to enshrine it in legislation, which in a lot of cases has been. And it also needs to be things like, I suppose, recurrent funding rather than, you know, one-off or grants, so that it's actually part of a departmental or a policy document and a departmental budget. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a very fair assessment, a very accurate assessment, and I'm pleased that small steps that perhaps don't affect media releases, but small steps like the fact that the really successful regional and rural roadshow and campaigns against homophobia that the first Andrews government embedded in initially project funding and now secured as ongoing funding in the base funding of that particular department. So these programs will be ongoing and evolving for so long as homophobia, biphobia, transphobia sadly continue to be a part of our culture and state, and so long as our regional and rural LGBTIQ community continues to be disproportionately underserviced and underrepresented. And I must say, things are changing. I was in Mildura earlier this week and met with Mallee Pride, which did not exist 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And really, in some pretty tough country, doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
And Martin, wouldn't it be wonderful if we actually didn't need to have a funding program at all because, you know, our communities were treated equally in every respect and included in the way in which life, you know, progresses on. I wanted to ask you, in relation to some of the initiatives that might come out of this? Are you exploring targets, the development and inclusion of targets? For example, in the gender equality space, government requires that 50% of all appointments to public boards and public agencies has to be 50%. Are we looking at targets like that for the LGBTI community?
Indeed. How do we move beyond, as admirable as it is, the notion that state government entities should reflect on a gender basis the communities that they're meant to be a part of? How can we intersect and all the other rich diversity elements, whether it be LGBTIQ, whether it be people of different abilities, multicultural backgrounds, regional and rural, as well as gender backgrounds?
It is a little bit interesting, though, because we do collect data about people's profile based on ethnicity and rurality and aboriginality and disability even, but we don't ask about sexuality or orientation.
And even, sorry, in the census, don't forget that federal government had the opportunity to put that question in the next census.
Well, we don't in Victoria accept that that debate is over on the census. Unless we measure, unless we have at the heart of this project, this whole of government project, the data as accessible and updated, then we can't, in a serious way, both measure and drive the changes we need. That's why we've taken up the issue of the Morrison government's decision to scrap the up to 21 different questions that were going to be on the next census about identity, sexuality and gender. And I must admit, we had a very, very responsible and favourable response from Greg Hunt, the federal health minister. So he quite rightly points out that he can't do his job and his agencies can't do their job on making sure that LGBTIQ Australians have access to decent and equitable health services unless those aspects are measured. And I'm quite heartened by that, and we won't be accepting readily the decision, apparently, of Minister Sufficar to scrap that arrangement. We think there's still some progress to go. Because unless you've got the data, unless you know what you're measuring, how can you as a government drive, or a community, drive through and hold governments and programs to account to measure and deliver on the aspects of equality?
Well, Michael Sucre and I had a discussion quite recently, and he wants to come on the show. Can you believe that, Martin?
Well, good on him.
And that'll be one of the questions. Well, there's a number of questions, but that'll be one of the questions that'll be first out of the blocks, because evidence-based policy gets actual, you know, sustainable outcomes and outcomes that address where the issues are. And I would have thought getting that data as part of the census, you know, it's a pretty cheap way to actually get some good data.
And what you don't measure and what you can't see in how government works in its statistics is invisible. And sometimes what we choose to make invisible reflects deep ongoing prejudices. And we need to challenge that, and we need to make sure that we measure those levels of engagement and disadvantage that we know is real across the whole board of the cradle to the grave aspects of what it is that deals with LGBTIQ Victorians.
Yep. Martin, back to the task force. Congratulations on setting it up again. When can our community expect to hear from or see what the work of the task force is going to be?
Over the next few months, you'll see through whether it's direct engagement with community, online, and the opportunities for participation around some issues papers, which are just being put together now, and feedback opportunities will flow from there, together with the work being done by the Health and Human Services, the Justice and the Education Working Groups, which have just also been renewed with their participants, flow out from there across government and across community what we think the issues are, what we ask community to say back to government are the issues, and how we go about the principles of co-designing and coming up with a final proposal, which we hope will be in place for community acceptance early to mid-2021.
Great.
Thank you very much, Martin. Good stuff. That's a great report on the great work that our Victorian governments are leading. I was just about to call you the Deputy Chief Health Officer again, but I'm not going to. You are the inaugural, Australia's inaugural Minister for Equality. Yes. Great to have you back on the airwaves.
Victoria's.
Yeah. Oh, right, of course.
Yes. But indeed, the first in Australia.
Yes. Well, there you go, inaugural
so
Australia. That's right.
So we should be in Victoria.
Thank you for your time this morning. I suspect you're busy out there, you know, attending to family events and probably local community events.
I encourage anyone to get down to St Kilda Park Primary School at 1 o'clock and feel free to dunk a local member in the St Kilda Park Fates dunking.
That sounds like a bit of fun.
There's a few others I'd like to dunk in there. I'll see if I can round them up.
Martin, thank you very much. Thank you for your time this morning. We look forward to having you back on the show again to give us an update in due course.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.